Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight. And it's just a pleasure and an honor to be able to share what I have tonight. This is the Wilderness Cruise for Modern Times, number 51. And tonight, what I'd like to do, I'd like to talk about contrast. Contrast is very, very important in our life. And if we can't handle contrast, if we cannot handle the contrast that God brings into our life, He can't use us. He really can't. And we have to fight through that contrast, and I'll explain that as I go. But before I get into Wilderness Cruise from Modern Times 51, I'd like to look at a couple of points, actually 4 points that we looked at last month that are very, very important. Amen? And the first point was, one reason we miss the glory of God, because we were talking about the glory of God, but one reason we miss the glory of God is because we are looking at which we desire. Sometimes what we desire is not what God desires. And we looked at Psalms 47. We're talking about delight and all this good stuff. And we have our own desire. Even Jesus had a will that was not of the Father. And the Father had to kind of crush that out of him in Gethsemane, which means where olives are pressed. And God pressed that will out. But we miss what God has for us. We miss the glory of God, what He has for us, because we are looking at other things, at other desires. And then we must look at what God is looking at. Also, point number two is our revelation and discovery are found in opportunities. Our revelation, those things that God shares with us, and the things that we find in the Spirit, they are found in the opportunities that God provides in our life. As we go out and we share the gospel with our friends and family at work or wherever, we travel to another country. And as we go, God then is able to reveal to us those wonderful treasures that He has for us. And the discovery that we make is all in opportunities, Amen? And the third point is foundations are necessary for revelation. If we do not have a foundation, if we do not have the correct foundation, then we will never, ever get revelation. Now, that's a very, very important point. If our foundation that we're built on is not correct, then God will not give us those revelations that we need to do that which He wants us to do. It is critical that this foundation that we're built on is laid correctly in our life, and then we can handle the revelations that God brings to us. Amen. And the fourth point is foundations must be built in us. Boy, I tell you, that was worth coming tonight for. But foundations must be built in us. There must be a work in us. And God must be able to work in us to build those foundations in us so that we can handle revelation. Everybody wants the latest and greatest move of God, and everybody wants this, and they want this blessing and that blessing. They want to stand up and be a bobblehead and, you know, shake their hands while the pastor is preaching. Well, that's not the way God builds foundations. God builds foundations in us as we go through the wilderness, as we go through some very, very difficult times. Amen. Foundations must be built in us. It doesn't have to be a painful process. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about contrast. Contrast is very, very, very important. We'll go ahead and look at Numbers 12 and 23 as the verse that we're taking off from. And it says, and they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from hence a branch with a cluster of grapes. And they bear it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Now, you just got to get this in your mind. These are the 12 spies went out, and they went out into the promised land. Now, they came from the wilderness, where there was no clusters of grapes. There was no figs. There was no pomegranates. There was barely water. God had to give them manna. They had to give them quail, and they had no provision. They had none of that. But now they're in this land that flowed with milk and honey and pomegranates and figs and these grapes. I mean, it's amazing. We were on a staff and they bear them on their shoulders. What a contrast. Contrast in our life is very, very amazing. Amen? and our willing walk with Him, we will learn and receive of Him. We must stay with Him. We must stay with Him. He may lead in various and unlikely situations of great contrast. This will be necessary for learning and receiving. The things that we learn of God are from God, and so we must not be in a church, we must not be in works and all of those things, but we must be with Him. And the more we stay with Him, the more we'll be able to learn from Him. We must walk with God to receive and learn from Him of His ways. Amen? There must be a walk with God. A lot of Christians are performance-based salvation, and they're working their way into heaven, and they have no understanding. I was looking at a verse when there were some demons and the disciples trying to cast them out, you know, and they couldn't do it, you know, and then Jesus came and cast them out, and Jesus said these words. He said, "These come out by prayer and fasting." And so many pastors today, go and say, "Well, you got to pray and you got to fast and do all of these things to cast these demons out." But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about the prayer and fasting, but these come out by spending time with God in prayer. These come out by doing things that God wants you to do, like that. But you can pray and you can fast and you still won't be able to cast some demons out. But I guarantee it, when you spend time with God, and when you have a relationship, and when you walk with Him and you talk with Him, then He'll be able to give you those revelations and those things that you need to go ahead to do the things that He wants us to do. Amen? A great contrast is seen in Numbers 13:23, as we read above. The 12 leave the wilderness and go to a land which flows with milk and honey. From the wilderness to abundance can be a pleasant contrast for all. From nothing to abundance would certainly magnify the blessings of plenty. In our life, we must fight through. We must fight through the contrast that God brings into our life. Now, the contrast so far is coming from nothing to something of plenty. But in God, believe it or not, God will reverse that contrast. God will bring us from a place of plenty into a place of nothing. Have all this stuff to nothing. But that doesn't happen by accident a lot of times. God is trying to teach us something in that, and we will see that, amen? But from the contrast, from plenty to nothing, from nothing to plenty, we must be able to fight through that and see what God is doing. See what the message that God has for us. God wants to illustrate to us light. He can take us into darkness and then into the light. That would make an impression on us. If He wants to put joy into our souls, He could take us from sorrow, then plunge us into joy. We must understand the message of what God is doing. If God is trying to put joy into us, He will first go ahead maybe and put us in a hole, in a pit, in a very, very difficult area. And so we're down here, and then we will see as He brings us up out of that miry pit into a place of joy, and then all of a sudden we're in this joy, but there's a message, there's some reason why He wants to do that. The message of contrast from joy to sorrow and from sorrow to joy. And everything that God does in our life, there's always a reason and there's a message. Everything. God does not do anything just to do it. Everything that God works into our life, everything that we do for God, there's a reason that we do it. Usually there are multifaceted reasons that we do it. But there's always a reason, and that reason always impacts in our heart. God is always after our heart. He's always trying to work in us and in our heart to conform us to His image. Amen? God will bring us to great contrast in order to emphasize certain qualities and establish them in us. And if you got a pencil and you got the notes, you need to underline that. God will bring us through great contrast, from plenty to nothing, from nothing to plenty, from light unto darkness, that great contrast. You know, the great contrast in order to establish certain qualities and establish them in us. If we are taken from joy into greater joy, that second joy would not be too much to emphasize. But if we are brought from sorrow into great joy, it becomes greatly impressed upon our life. Contrast in our life only highlights certain qualities of God in us. Let me say that again. Contrast in our lives highlights certain qualities of God, and they establish them in us. They establish them in us. When we can see God take us from loss to victory, they say, yeah, you're going to die, that's it, it's over, you might as well get your will, whatever, but suddenly God intervenes and He touches you. And now that work that God has done in your life is a quality of God that has been established into your life. And that is very, very important. So contrast is a very, very important part of our life when God brings us from plenty to nothing. So when we're down there with nothing, know, and you're walking with the Lord, know that the only way to go from nothing is not more nothing. The only way to go from nothing is to more, to plenty. Contrast of God is always, always there. And we're even talking about that a little more. Often He will reverse that contrast. If He wants to impress us with a deep degree of sorrow in some experience, He will bring us into great joy, then He will plunge us into sorrow. Wow, the qualities of God. Wow. But first, He wants us to kind of see a little bit of sorrow. First, He'll bring us into joy, and then He wants us to see the pain and the suffering, the maybe loss that some people have in this world. Then He will plunge us into sorrow. He will bring that contrast into our life so that we'll be able to see that quality. That way, we shall not only learn about the man of sorrow, the son of sorrow, Jesus, we shall experience some of that sorrow. It's easy to read about the son of sorrow, the man of sorrows, Jesus, but it's a different thing to experience the sorrows in our life. And so God will use those contrasts. We have great joy, and all of a sudden, bang, now we're into sorrow. And not only are we into sorrow, but now we get to experience some of that sorrow. And of course, it will always change us. God's goal and contrast in our life is to change us, to get us up out of the lower ground. Oh, this is terrible, I can't make it. Then God will bring plenty into our life, and that will change us. Or when the reverse of that is true, God, you know, plan and contrast is always to bring a change in our heart, in our life. And it also will equip us to comfort those who are sorrow. So if we are happy and we're glad and God kind of brings us into a little bit of sorrow so that we can identify with those people of sorrow. One thing about sorrow and grief, it will definitely soften your heart. Anybody that is not touched by sorrow and grief, it does not have a strong, there's problems there. Anybody that calls himself a Christian and is not touched by sorrow or when something happens, you better check your relationship with the Lord. Amen. It is God, not Satan, that affects our emotions. I was in church the last Sunday, and the Sunday school teacher said this. She said that Satan controls our flesh. And I kind of looked at her and said, wow, I didn't say anything, and I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to ask her how she figured that out. But anyways, Satan does not affect our emotions. He doesn't affect our flesh. He can't be in the same place at the same time. And we give Satan all these powers that he does not have. Amen. But most often it is us, man, that runs the gamut of our emotions. It is we, our emotions, that go and get kind of carried away. But Satan has no power in our life that we do not give him. He is defeated. It is over. And if we really believe that, well, we would just be better off as Christians. Amen. The contrast of light with darkness will teach us many things and enrich our spiritual life. The contrast of light with darkness will teach us many things and enrich our spiritual life. You know, Jesus said that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. So this contrast of light with darkness teaches us many, many things. God always brings contrast into our life to teach and to train us. God always brings contrast into our life to teach us and train us how we function and how we operate. And as we walk with the Lord, His presence will be so near and so intense that we may not be able to eat or drink or sleep on a regular schedule. And we love the light. But after several weeks, maybe months, that wonderful climate will lift and we will find ourselves in total darkness and in the dryness. And the Lord, even in that, is trying to bring a contrast in our life. I remember there was a certain prayer pattern that I had in my life, and it was just wonderful. For like 3 or 4 weeks, it was just wonderful. I mean, you know, the presence of God was suddenly come, and it was just great. I mean, it was just wonderful, and it just went on and on, and I didn't want it to stop. Then all of a sudden, it stopped. It was like, God, you know, where are you? And I found myself, I would go ahead and I would get down on my knees, and I would try to work it up, and I would try to pray and stuff like that. And God, I heard behind me this voice, what are you doing on your knees? What are you down on your knees? Well, the contrast, God was trying to teach me that God was going to take me from this prayer pattern to another prayer pattern. There was a contrast even in prayer from this wonderful, wonderful feeling, and now the wonderful, wonderful feeling is gone, and now God has something else for me. Unless we can flow with God in what God is doing in our lives, we will not be able to grow in Him. We must be able to fight through that contrast that God brings into our life. And we must be able to flow with God is doing in our life. At that time, God was just wonderful, and God was just wonderful presence of God, and the Spirit was just great, and I just loved it. Then all of a sudden, later, in contrast, there's no presence. There's no feelings of God. It was like, God, are you there? I can't feel you. And even in that, even in no presence of God, what I was learning was faithfulness. I was learning faithfulness. It's easy to feel God and feel good, and, oh, that's good, you know. But when you don't feel the presence of God, then it's all about faith. And God was teaching me faithfulness through that. Was teaching faithfulness to that contrast. The feeling of great joy to a dryness. But in that dryness, God was teaching me about His character. And He was teaching me about faithfulness. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We then are impressed. We're terrified, amazed, we're puzzled. We are learning darkness and we're learning drought. We are learning those things which can be learned only in the wilderness. We are learning that God is faithful to us even in a desert land, and He can be our life even in darkness. Wow. Wow. God is faithful to us, even in a desert land. Here we are in contrast, the land of flows with milk and honey. The next thing you know, we're back in the wilderness here. The desert, there's nothing there. But there we know that He is faithful to us. And even when we're in darkness, God can be a light to us, even in darkness. As always with the Lord, there is a deeper lesson He desires to teach us as we are faithful to Him. The key to learn from God is to be faithful to Him. One of the songs that I was going to, we're going to sing tonight, was going to be Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. He desires to teach us as we are faithful to Him. He always wants to teach us, but that does not depend upon God, that depends upon us. Are we going to be faithful to Him? During this time in the wilderness, He desires to give us of his treasures contained in the darkness. Yes, that's what I said, the treasures that are contained in the darkness. Song of Solomon 3:1-2, tremendous voice, tremendous verse right here. It says, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Have you ever been there? Have you ever laid on your bed and sought him who your soul loveth? I sought him, but I found him not. Wow, what a contrast. Oh, I love you, I love you, I want you, but I found him not. I will rise up and go about the city and the streets and in the Broadway. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Wow. During these times that you find him not, God is there and he's teaching us faithfulness. He's teaching us about his character, and he's teaching us his qualities about him. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Lessons in God depend on us, not on God. Amen. Those treasures contained in the unknown and the silence and the still, moving in a direction we do not know, that will build a foundation of total trust in us, that no matter what we face, we will not be moved. Those that will develop a love relationship with him. In those dry times, in those times when he moves us from joy into a dryness in our relationship with him, he is teaching faithfulness to us. And he is teaching us how to receive the treasures of the Lord. Isaiah 45:3, tremendous verse here. Isaiah 45:3 says, and I will give thee, God gives these to us. God gives us these treasures, the treasures of darkness. Wow, darkness is the treasure of God, not the light. Darkness is the treasure of life, and the hidden riches of secret places. God gives us darkness. What did he give us darkness for? So he can develop faithfulness in us. God gives us the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou may knowest that I am the Lord. Don't you know, in dry times and in difficult times, like when we're in the wilderness, that we come and we depend upon the Lord, that thou may knowest that I am the Lord, which call thee by your name. Wow. The hidden treasures of God, the secret places of God, are found in the darkness, in those difficult times, in those scary times when you don't know what's going on. It's confusing, and I don't know what's going on, and I'm confused. And that is when we receive the treasures in the secret places of God for our life. Amen? Some parting thoughts. This is going to be a little deeper. There are two areas of blessings which relate to the wilderness. Two areas of blessings relate to the wilderness. One concerns the blessings that are within the wilderness. The other opportunity for blessing based upon the wilderness itself and our proper response. For example, in the wilderness there's times when God will come to us and will give us those hidden treasures, those secret blessings that he has for us. Those are the blessings that are contained in the wilderness. And then there is the other side. The other is opportunities for blessings based upon the wilderness itself and our proper response. The promised land was the opportunity for the blessings based upon the children of Israel's response to God in the wilderness. The blessings were there in the promised land. The blessings were there. But as we know, the 12 spies went out, only two took the opportunity. The other 10 said, oh, the giants are too big and we're grasshoppers. But only two. Amen? The promised land was the opportunity for blessing based upon the children of Israel's response to God in the wilderness. All that we have in God is a promise from God. No, hear what I'm saying now. All that we have in God is a promise from God. They are God's intention. Every promise in the Bible that you read, everything there is God's intention. Every promise. This is what I want to give you. That is God's intention. But those promises, us receiving those promises, is not contingent upon God, but they are contingent on us. They are contingent on us. Coming out from that place of plenty into that place of nothing, or that place of nothing going into that place of plenty, all depends upon our response from God. Amen? Amen? So it's contingent not on God, but it's contingent on our response to God. In that contrast, the promised land depends, you know, going into the promised land depended not on God. That was God's intention to give them that. But it was dependent on the children of Israel's response to God in the wilderness. And that's getting kind of even a little deeper. So here we are in this contrast. We're down here in this place of nothingness. We have nothing. And God will bring us to this place of plenty. But we will go to this place of plenty according to our response to God in the nothingness. When we have nothing, are we singing, "Oh, nobody knows the heartaches I have seen"? Or are we singing, "Victory in Jesus"? Well, if you keep singing, "I'm in the mully, bruv, and no one knows the evil that I, or, you know, what I've seen," you'll never ever get over to the promised land. You'll always stay in that place of lack. But in the place of lack, if you could say, "Victory in Jesus," and then God will bring you up out of there. It's our response to God and Him working in our life is what moves us from this place of lack into this promised land, that contrast that God has for us. Remember, it goes backwards. We can have a place of plenty, and God wants you to learn something about sorrow or loss. And here, go ahead and bang. You find yourself there, and then you can experience that. Amen? Contrast is an amazing thing in God. There is no way the Israelites could get from Egypt to Canaan without going through the many wildernesses. After the wilderness, they get into the land of milk and honey, revealed the blessing. The wilderness to the promised land was a contrast from lack to plenty. They always walk hand in hand. Let me say that again. Contrast, lack and plenty always walk hand in hand. So good news, if you're in lack today, guess what? According to your response to God, your plenty is on the way. Right? Amen. If you're in plenty, your response to God for that plenty, be careful, you may end up in lack. Amen. God may want to show you something there. Amen. But before the blessing comes, before the land of milk and honey, before we enter into the joys of the Lord, we must walk in the footsteps of obedience and faithfulness to God. Matthew 25:21, a tremendous verse, says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joys of the Lord." Again, our contrast from lack to plenty depends not on God, but it depends on us. In the wilderness, all too often, our vision is sorely limited. We see the lack and we see the difficulties. God's provision cannot be seen very clearly, if at all, at certain times. Many believers do not know that God can provide a table for the needy, even in the wilderness. And that's what God did with the children of Israel. He provided a table in the way of the promised land. And even while in the wilderness, he gave them quail and manna, and their clothes didn't wear out. And you know, they've had so many miracles. Amen?
Yeah.
The provision and the power of God do not determine whether we fail or succeed in our walk with God. Wow. The provisions and power of God do not determine whether we fail or succeed in our walk with God. We must never look at the lack, but keep looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But the provisions and power of God do not determine whether we fail or succeed. His provision and power are always at hand and without limit. God's provision and power is always there and without limit. The ability of God to walk in and through us is not the determining factor. Now, I know many of my pastor friends would give me a hard time with this statement. The ability of God to work in and through us is not the determining factor in our failure or success. God is more than able, in spite of us, to move us and use us. Failure in God is impossible. God is always more than able in all of our situations. If we fail, it is because we have fallen out of the way of what God has spoken to us. So tonight, my question as I end is, what has God spoken to us? The contrast of God walk hand in hand all throughout your life, all throughout your walk with God, because God uses contrast to train us and to develop us and move us from this place of lack to this place of plenty, or from this place of plenty to this place of lack, to teach us all of these things. Contrast is one of the biggest tools that God uses to teach and train us. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, and we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings, Father. Lord, thank you for the word tonight, Father, Lord God. Minister the word to our hearts, Father, Lord. And as you ministered it to me, Father, as I put this together, and I just thank and I praise you, Father, for your love and your blessings, Father, Lord God. You're such a good God. Lord, thank you for the contrast in our life that you bring our way. And we just thank and we praise you, Father, Lord God. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.